Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord God.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched and withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil, and produced fruit, 100, or 60, or 30-fold. Whoever has ears to hear, ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Once every 6 years, we have the Gospel of St. Matthew, both on Sundays as well as during the weekdays. And on the 14th Sunday, we have this parable of the sower and the seed. Then on Wednesday of the 16th week, we pick up that same story. We've been pondering this for the last couple of weeks, the real lessons here about our receptivity to God's indefectible word, that if we really have that soil that God wants, that good soil, we'll be bearing abundant fruit, not just a little fruit, but much fruit from what the Lord in fact says. But most of us don't have that type of good soil. Jesus describes the three other soil samples, the hardened soil that the word can't penetrate, the stony soil that's superficial, people like or dislike, but it doesn't really get down deep. It doesn't bear root, dig deep roots. It doesn't continue to suck up that nourishment so that whenever any difficulties arise, the Word of God is lost. Then that thorny soil full of the thorn bushes that choke the growth of the seed of the Word of God. It's important for us that we ponder that today the Lord wants us to bear abundant fruit from what He's just announced to us in the Word of God, through Jean's accent, through Jeanette's singing, through the proclamation of this holy word. Let's ponder a little bit about what has to happen. In order for us to be able to bear good fruit, we need to turn over that hardened soil. We need to jackhammer through those subterranean limestone layers. We need to take out those thorn bushes so that we can bear abundant fruit. And that's what we see God sending the prophet Jeremiah to do in today's first reading. It's not enough to just say, I'm going to sow seed, but whatever soil you have, some of you are going to bear fruit, most of you are not, I don't care. Nope. God actually wanted to send Jeremiah out to make much more fruitful soil. And the Lord wants all of us to have a share, not only in receiving that work, but in that continuing that work. At the end of today's passage, God says, This day I set you over nations and kingdoms. He wasn't going to be isolated just to the Jewish people or to the Jewish nation. He was going to be able to say a universal message of what God wanted. To root up and tear down, to destroy and to demolish, to build and to plant. His mission was to be a mission of destruction and construction. In order to be able to bear fruit from the Word of God, sometimes we need to tear things down in our life. We need to root them up. We need to prepare the soil. And that isn't easy. But then, after that destruction, there's the building up. And we're going to see over the next 2 weeks, as we get Jeremiah in the first reading, anytime we don't have a feast day, exactly how Jeremiah did both. He's going to give us his famous Jeremiads, which are the screeds, that convict us not of sin, but of unrepented sin, of that real corruption that Pope Francis talks about, that while we're sinning proudly, not repentantly. Not help me, Lord, because I can't help myself, but I'm going to continue to do this. He needed to destroy that. But then we'll see the last of all of these sessions 2 weeks from tomorrow, how there's the great prophecy that after that destruction, God's going to implant within us a new heart. He's going to sprinkle clean water on us. He's going to give us that new birth. But that work, if it's going to happen in others, first has to happen in us. And that's the beauty of this vocation story of the prophet Jeremiah. He'd come from a priestly family, been raised around the scriptures. But when the Lord appeared to him, about the age of 17 or 18, he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I had consecrated you. I had appointed you a prophet to the nations." The Lord, in creating any of us, has created us with a mission. It's not an identical mission to Jeremiah, but none of us is a number. None of us is just the random union of a sperm and an egg that just happened to produce us. No, each of us has a soul directly willed by God. And in that, there's a vocation and a mission. What the Lord said of Jeremiah is true of us. But then what do we see? Jeremiah resists that call. "Ah, Lord God, I know not how to speak. I'm too young." So we remember when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, Moses said, "You know, basically, I'm a terrible speaker. Why would you be sending me to Pharaoh?" This was more than that for Jeremiah. He was saying, "I'm way too young. I'm too childish. I wouldn't know how to be able to speak as a prophet to nations and to peoples." But God was going to solve that problem. The Lord answered me, saying, "Say not, I am too young. Don't make excuses, Jerry. Because it's not your words, it's not your intelligence, it's not your upbringing that matters most. Say not, I'm too young." And he starts to build him up. He starts to give him his prophetic training. "To whomever I send you, you'll go. You don't have to worry about where to go. I'll point out to you where to go. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. You don't have to make it up as you go along, even though you're young. I'm going to give you what to say. Have no fear, because I'm with you to deliver you," says the Lord. That he was going to be going as the Lord's ambassador. The Lord was going to be commissioning him with his message and with the destinaries. And then the Lord did something greater. He extended his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth, saying, "See, I place my words in your mouth." And then we get that latter commission that he was going to destroy and to build for God. That touching of his mouth reminds us of what God did to Isaiah. When Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips from a people who blaspheme," basically. And God charcoaled his lips. That's the prayer that the priest says in the old rite before he proclaims the gospel. That just as you burned away the impurities of the lips of Isaiah, so do the same to me as I come on up. Now we might say, hey, those are some pretty interesting details in the life of this prophet Jeremiah, who started his mission in 626 BC and went through 578, excuse me. But he did the same thing to us. Most of us won't remember our baptismal day because we were baptized, thanks be to God, as infants. But on that day of baptism, what happens toward the end? After the baptism, after the sealing with sacred chrism, after the blessing of the white garment, after the lighting of the baptismal candle from the paschal candle, the priest or the bishop or the deacon who baptized us, touches both of our ears. And then he puts his thumb right inside our mouth. And he says, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word, and your lips to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father." The Lord God has in fact done for us something even greater than he did for Jeremiah. He has put his words in our lips. But even more than that, he seeks to place his words in our heart, on that good soil, so that it bears great fruit. Jesus will say elsewhere, "Out of the heart comes what man speaks." And again, if our heart's a cesspool of judgmental thoughts, of bitterness, etc., that's eventually going to come out through our speech. But if our heart's impregnated with the Word of God, that's also going to flow. And God gives us that new heart. Jeremiah is going to tell us 2 weeks from tomorrow. That's the real building on up. He builds us up by His Word. Today, I'm not really worried that any of you is going to make the similar excuse that Jeremiah did. "I'm too young!" But I am worried that some of you will say, "I'm too darn old! I can't be chosen." Really? The opening prayer of the Mass today on this feast of St. Bridget of Sweden. She was a mom of 8 children, a very faithful wife. She and her husband made a pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela from Sweden, which is quite a hike. They did so in their 40s. In coming back from that pilgrimage, they decided that the Lord was calling each of them to the religious life. He became a Cistercian. She founded the monastery which is named after her now, the Bridgetine family. And from that point forward, she dedicated herself wholly and entirely to receiving that Word of God and mothering this new religious family that God had given her to send, God had given her to nourish. Her writings that the Lord had planted within her, she continues to share throughout the world. But the prayer said, to which we turned to God at the beginning, "You called her by different paths." And then at the end, "Grant us, we pray, that walking worthily in our vocation, we may seek you in all things." Her vocation wasn't just to be a wife and a mom. It was a continued calling. The Lord was calling her to continue to walk. And she sought the Lord as a young girl. She sought the Lord as a wife and a mom. She continued to seek the Lord as a religious and a religious foundress. The Lord's calling us to continue to walk with Him, to receive His Word, and to share that Word, building up and tearing down others. So today, as we reflect on the stages of her vocation, we likewise should reflect on our own. That the Lord is sending us to the ones He wants to send us to. We're not being sent to Old Testament kings. We're being sent to fellow parishioners, including those who might not be coming to Mass anymore. We're being sent to our family members. We're being sent to our neighbors. We're being sent to our colleagues. We're being sent, basically, to every single person with whom you're going to collide today. We're being sent. The Lord's placing Himself within us, not just words. He's about to place Himself in us, the Word made flesh. But He wants us to bear Him to others, to tear down and to build up. Jesus' whole mission He announced the first time He ever preached when He said, "Repent," which is to tear down. Tear down all of your idols. Tear down all of your old ways that aren't aligned with my kingdom. Repent and believe in the gospel. That gospel is that great anabolic gift to really build us up. And we were consecrated to this task before our mothers ever had their first pregnancy test.